Money Show with Bruce Whitfield on 702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Welcome to the Money Show. 4,000 Rand up for grabs later in the Brutal Biz Quiz. We'll ask you questions. You get to answer them. And if you get them right, I'll hand you 4,000 bucks. That's the way the game works. And I'm looking forward to that. Of course, the Brutal Biz Quiz this evening brought to you by 702 Cape Talk and Altron. There when it matters. And that is what we're going to be doing this evening on the Money Show. The Money Show is brought to you by Nedbank. Looking at money from every angle leads to better money. Money decisions, see money differently. Ned Bank. We'll talk to Chris Graham, who's a Europe economist at Standard Chartered, in just a moment. Theresa May announcing her resignation today. We'll also this evening look at the extraordinary fallout around Peter Moyo, chief executive of Old Mutual. Old Mutual returned from its primary listing in London just last year. Peter Moyo at its helm. And now the board says they've had a series of disagreements of which there appears to be no resolution. There's been a breakdown in trust. There's been a breakdown in the relationship between Peter Moyo and the board. Nobody's done anything wrong. Both sides say, well, Peter Moyo's done nothing wrong. But he's still suspended. And you don't see a guy like that coming back from something like this and going back into the corner office at Old Mutual. Not after the company's gone so public to say that the relationship has broken down. You only do that once it is completely irretrievable. Also, the public protector today making it nigh impossible for the president to appoint Pravin Gordhan to his cabinet. Busisiwe Mkhwebane ruling that the former finance minister acted improperly when he approved the early pension payout for Ivan Pillay, who was lined up, some thought, to be commissioner one day. And she's instructed the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, to take disciplinary action against Pravin Gordhan for violating the constitution. Gordon's always said that he acted correctly. I'm waiting to see what his response is going to be to this. And, I mean, at such a crucial juncture in terms of his role at Public Enterprises, when the EFF baying for his blood in his head this evening, you've got to wonder what is really at play on the weekend where the president is expected to announce that cabinet. All of that coming up on tonight's Money Show.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield. Live, online, smartphones, DSTV, and 92.7 and 106 FM.
It was only a matter of time, but today Theresa May announcing that she will be stepping down officially as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom on the 7th of June. She will wait for a successor to be appointed, and now it's going to be a fight to the end amongst several contenders for the leadership of the Conservative Party. It is leading the main opposition party in the United Kingdom, the Labour Party, and its leader Jeremy Corbyn, to call for a snap election. Now, Conservatives have been bitten in elections in recent years, and after the that they've got themselves into recently over Brexit and their drubbing over the European question, it's highly unlikely that they're going to agree to that. Chris Graham is Europe economist at Standard Chartered. No surprise really that Theresa May has stepped down, but it is interesting as to who is going to take her place, Chris Graham.
Yes, good evening. Thanks for having me. I think you're right. This has been a long time coming. She's facing pressure from her backbench MPs, the cabinet, as well as the party base. So it's just a case of when, not if. I think you're right. It's interesting who comes next. I mean, numbers range from anywhere between 10 and 25 candidates who will eventually step forward. I think who the next leader is does matter a great deal for how Brexit will be managed. I anticipate candidates broadly splitting into two camps. So those in favour of a harder stance on Brexit, notably Boris Johnson and Dominic Raab, and then those in favour of a more middle-of-the-road compromise Brexit deal, similar to what the PM has been attempting. Although, I would also say, I would expect both groups to try to appeal to both sides of this torn party, at least to begin with. So the dividing lines between candidates might be quite blurred to start with, at least.
I mean, there's equal money almost on Boris Johnson and a man called Jeremy Hunt, a previous health secretary in various British governments. And, you know, it's been such a divisive issue, Europe, for decades. Margaret Thatcher couldn't deal with it. Other political leaders couldn't deal with it. And David Cameron decided that he would give democracy a go and give it to the great British public to decide as to whether or not there should be a Brexit vote. The vote happened and Britain voted in order to leave, yet it's not something that Theresa May could deliver on simply because of the complexity and the consequences of leaving Europe. I mean, has the mood in Britain toward Brexit changed at all in the last 3 years?
You're right in when you say it has been an issue which has torn the UK, but it's particularly torn the Conservative Party. I mean, by most estimates, the last 4 out of 5 Conservative leaders have ended up resigning or being forced out because of the issue. In terms of whether the population or the electorate has changed their minds, I mean, there's a lot of frustration with Brexit, but it's hard to get hard data on this. I from what I've seen, it suggests that if we were to have another a second referendum, it would be another very close-run affair. I mean, the Brexit Party, which is run in the European elections just yesterday, is set to be by far the biggest party in European election results for the UK. And they had a very clear stance on Brexit. Take the UK out as quickly as possible. Now, obviously, there's people on the other side voting for Remain, and there's a variety of parties which represent them. But I think the final results when they're released on Sunday will show that the country is still split, and maybe, perhaps not 50-50, but close enough to suggest that a second referendum would be very close.
And Jeremy Corbyn would like nothing more than an election, because it could see him elevated to number 10 Downing Street, the home of the Prime Minister. And that scares many economists, many people in markets very, very much, because Jeremy Corbyn is a socialist. He is a radical part of the left wing of the Labour Party, which lay dormant under Tony Blair and has re-emerged. And we've got to consider whether Britain's more frightened of Brexit, whether it's more frightened of Boris Johnson, or whether it's more frightened of Jeremy Corbyn.
I think that's definitely true. I mean, from what I've heard recently, there is more interest in what a Jeremy Corbyn government would mean for the markets over what Brexit means. That could be because it's been 3 years of Brexit now, and a lot of investors have become numb to it. But I think you're right. I think longer term, you know, a lot of companies have perhaps done all of their due diligence or their contingency planning for Brexit, but they don't necessarily know what to plan for with a Jeremy Corbyn government. Yep. He and a lot of his leadership have said things in the past, and if they fulfill all of their promises, it would be a radical change for the UK economy.
It would be significant, yet your currency market fairly steady today. I mean, there was no panic around Theresa May's resignation and the prospect of a possible election.
No, that's right. And I think that's testament to the fact that people don't necessarily know what her stepping down changes. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, even if we get a new leader, we don't get a new parliament. And this parliament has rejected almost everything they've voted on. There's no consensus building around any type of Brexit. And so, I mean, the current deadline for the Article 50 process is October 31st. I think it looks very likely that we get to that stage and nothing has changed and another request for an extension is put forward. So I think investors are looking at this as sort of, yeah, okay, this is something we were expecting. Theresa May to step down. It will be interesting who steps forward into her shoes. But that doesn't necessarily tell us too much about where we're going to end up with Brexit.
If you were going past a betting shop this evening and you had £5 in your pocket to bet on a future Tory leader, where would that money go?
Well, let's put it this way. Almost always the front runner doesn't make it. But I think in this situation, the front runner does have the edge, and that is Boris Johnson. He's very popular amongst the party base. And, I mean, you know, MPs can thwart his efforts to become leader, but given his popularity and given that he's improving his reputation as a statesman, I think he's a fairly good bet at this stage. Although with, you know, 15 to 20 candidates running, you can't rule anyone out at this stage.
A deeply intellectual individual, a very, very sharp individual, regarded in some circles as a bit of a buffoon, a fun-loving individual. I forget exactly who it was who said it, but it was a senior woman in the Tory party who said, Boris is brilliant fun to go and have a party with, but you don't want him driving you home afterwards, which was a condemnation of his potential future leadership style.
That's absolutely right. He does sort of delegate power. So when he was mayor of London, he had a team around him who he delegated a lot of decisions to. So I think we can expect to see a similar type of administration if he was to become the prime minister. But you're right, he comes with a lot of, should we say, political baggage. But similar to other characters in the world right now, there's a certain sort of understanding that no matter what he says, it doesn't necessarily hurt him in the polls. And he is seen as a sort of, not an anti-elite politician, but a non-standard politician, in that he talks in a very genial way, and he talks to the people in a more comfortable way. And I think that resonates with a lot of people, particularly in the Conservative Party. And for that reason, as well as his stance on Brexit, which has been more pro-Brexit than Theresa May, I think he does have a very good chance of ultimately getting the Prime Minister.
I suspect you're right, Chris Graham. Thank you. The Europe Economist at Standard Chartered. Fascinating times in the United Kingdom. And Boris Johnson, if you want to understand Boris Johnson, if you are an Anglophile of any kind, you must read his biography of Winston Churchill. And you get a very good sense of Boris Johnson, who's quite a maverick. Let's do that. That's the polite way of putting it. A bit of a maverick. Lots of hate.
702. Bruce is on Twitter at Bruce Business.
Well, there's been a big fallout at Old Mutual. Old Mutual, which went on a global gallivanting tour and cost its investors more than 100 billion rand over a 20-year period of buying companies and losing money on them all over the world, then decided to sell up those companies, unbundle its assets, and come back to focus on doing business in Africa. And in order to do that, it appointed a man called Peter Moyo. Peter Moyo has had a long history with Old Mutual. He was once a deputy MD, and he went off to go and become chief executive for a while at Alexander Forbes and did a couple of other things, got involved in some empowerment companies, some private investment companies. And when he was asked to become chief executive of Old Mutual in 2017, he agreed and said, I also do this stuff. And from what we understand, Old Mutual said, that's fine. But suddenly today, it doesn't seem fine anymore. David Shapiro, stockbroker at Sasfin. In half a century of being in markets, have you ever seen such an extraordinary announcement of a board has fallen out with the chief executive of one of the biggest and most powerful financial services companies in the country and has suspended him? It is unprecedented, surely.
Bruce, it is because, people don't act that way. I think there's a certain value system and he seems to have broken it. It's very hard to get the story. You were nearly there, and I'm not quite sure of it. I picked it up from colleagues. But as you said, he had started a company apparently called NMT, which was an empowerment company. And Old Mutual had an investment in this business and had financed it. It was the only institutional investor. So what went wrong was that when he became CEO, they had said to him, the board had said, yes, you can stay on as an investor there or as a shareholder, but do not become involved in the decision-making. And apparently this is where the conflict of interest has come. And it's over time that they have warned him, they've had fallout, and it probably reached a level where they said, that's enough, enough is enough. He was involved in influencing the decision-making in that company, etc. I must add, Bruce, that there doesn't seem to be any suggestion of fraud or malfeasance. So it's just simply a conflict of interest and that he has gone beyond where they had said he should be. So I think this is where it is, and he's obviously stood his ground. But it is unprecedented, and I think one understands, when you take on a position as CEO, you're obviously your first duties are to the company in which you're appointed, which I would imagine would be Old Mutual.
CEOs get paid a fortune. They get paid tens of millions of rand in share options and in cash and in all kinds of incentives. And Peter Moyo was one of those guys who was incredibly well paid to do the Old Mutual job. Old Mutual would therefore be legitimately expecting to have his full attention on the job and not be distracted.
Absolutely right. If you become president of the United States or you become president of South Africa, whatever it is, that's where your first duties become. You can't get involved in your own personal affairs. And of course, there's going to be conflict of interest if you're running this business and looking at other investments. Who knows? Where do you get those investments? If you get a nice opportunity, where does it go? To NMT or does it go to Old Mutual? And I think those are the issues that are being discussed. So it wasn't. Look, this is a man with a very, very high reputation. If I remember, he was the CEO of Anglo American here. So it's rather sad that it's come to this, that it has come to a situation. But Bruce, I think in South Africa, we accept anything these days. It's been an absolutely awful week for SA.
I mean, you've seen cycles come and go. I don't know if we're going to ruin your weekend, but just to emphasize your point, I mean, Sasol this week is down 25%, Netcare and Sappi down 22%, Naspers and Mr. Price down 13%, Massmart down 30% this week. It just makes everything cheaper. Are you going shopping on Monday?
No, you know what happened? Bruce, where I'm angry is that this is not global economy. This is not political South Africa. This is CEOs getting it all wrong. And that's what really angers me. We haven't exactly, or SA Corporate hasn't exactly covered itself in glory. And I think this is where we're so angry.
And what's so insulting is these are supposed to be the whiz kids. These are the kids who hire consultants to work out their pay packets. And they get paid a blooming fortune to do the jobs. And they're supposed to look after our old age. And they're failing us.
You said it. That's exactly the situation. And they do get well paid. Anyway, we just box on.
We do, David. We do. David Shapiro, a veteran stockbroker. 50 years of experience. Hasn't seen anything like the Peter Moyer announcement in those 50 years. Astonishing. Peter Moyer, he's saying he's done nothing wrong. The board, Trevor Manuel, who's the chairman, saying, no, he's done nothing wrong. How can you have done nothing wrong and be suspended? It suggests you have a disagreement of a principle. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I can't see him going back to Old Mutual in the corner office. They're going to have to do some sort of severance, I suspect. Will we ever get to the bottom of it? I'm not sure. We have put in pitches for Old Mutual. We've put in pitches to talk to Peter Moyo himself. We continue to do so. And hopefully we will get hold of the main protagonists in the story so that we can bring you versions of it, their versions of these stories. And we look forward to doing it. Well, Pravin Gordhan is not taking Busisiwe Mgwabane, the public protector's ruling today that he breached the constitution when he approved the early retirement of Ivan Pillay lying down. Breaking story right now, the minister to institute immediate review proceedings against the public protector. His lawyers say our client, Minister Pravin Gordhan, will institute immediate review proceedings against the public protector's report and findings, including the proposed remedial action that she announced in the media today. Does this open the way then for Cyril Ramaphosa to say, okay, I'm willing to appoint you as Public Enterprises Minister, keep the continuity going, and if you know you go through this process and you're found wanting, then we're going to have to fire you then, and then it's game over. What Pravin Gordhan's lawyers are saying in their statement this evening, the haste and the timing of the public protector shows a complete disregard for an important constitutional event for our country, the inauguration of the President of the Republic of South Africa. It does seem tinged in politics. That's what it does seem tinged by. Well, it doesn't want to call in to question the office of the public protector. But does this public protector fulfill the full obligations of this office is the question that we should be asking.
The Money Show.
The markets.
Garth Curry, high drama on The Money Show this evening. High drama. Pravin Gordhan boxing back. It's terribly exciting. Not as exciting as our markets, though. I mean, there has been billions and billions and billions of rands worth of value destroyed, wiped off the value of shares on the JSE this week. What on earth have you been doing?
It's been a very tough week, Bruce, and with that. We've seen, you know, with Sasol and doesn't help with Old Mutual coming out today, as you've already discussed with David. It's been a tough week on some of the earnings and some of the strategies that have come through in the market on the local stocks.
Do you agree with David that this is an example? This is no politics. This is nothing else other than managements that have bitten off more than they can chew in some cases. Sasol is an example there. Netcare has made a mess of the United Kingdom, has had to come back with a tail between its legs. Massmart profits in half, bringing in an American to run the show because we just couldn't get it right. This is, you know, big, high-paying managements not doing their jobs properly.
Yeah, Bruce, I think some of it's that. I also think, Bruce, it's been a tough market out there. I mean, the South African economy has not been robust at all. We've been in recession in the first quarter. I mean, we're all looking forward to Cyril being inaugurated tomorrow, and we'll see what happens there and his cabinet announcement the next day. Hopefully, we'll build some confidence and we'll go firmer, maybe go a little firmer from here on the markets and on confidence, because there's definitely been business confidence in South Africa has been lacking in the first quarter.
It most certainly has. I mean, probably in recession in the first quarter, recessionary environment, the economy would have contracted, despite the fact that markets ran up. And essentially, we are, what, up 3% on the year so far, after being 13% up at the end of the first quarter just a couple of weeks ago.
Correct, Bruce. A lot of that's been also out of our hands, where Trump has entered into the trade war with China and with the US, and I say Trump because he's been at the center of it. But we've also had Brexit, and Theresa May is, you know, looking to resign from the 7th of June. We've had European elections, we've had global elections, and of course our elections. And it's been everybody pouncing back into this market in the first quarter, and there's definitely be some profit taking, say sell in May and go away, a bit of the money being taken off the table, and that's pulled us back a little bit.
This is probably the first time I can remember, certainly in recent years, that sell in May and go away actually has paid off. Had you gone for that old pail?
it doesn't always work, Bruce. Quite often you need to stay into the market, and if you're a long-term investor, you should still be there. Good companies with good management and good earnings will definitely see you through into the longer term.
Okay. Are any of these companies still good companies? Sasol, Netcare, Sappi, Naspers, Mr. Price, Massmart. Because all of them are worth at least 15 to 30% less than they were this time last month.
There's definitely some opportunities in that list that you've given, Bruce. And I think there's definitely a lot of analysts around town reassessing the valuations of those companies. And we've seen quite a few come out and say there's definitely value here. And some of the reactions have been an overreaction in the space of some of the stocks. You know, because we've seen the trade wars have affected the companies that are trading in China, and they've really come down under pressure, especially on the IT side. We've seen the oil price yesterday came down 5.7%. It recovered approximately 1.5% or 2% today. And we've seen today some of the resources stocks, especially because iron ore jumped nearly $20 today, has pushed up some of these mining stocks. So some of these mining stocks have turned up 3% or 4% today. And then we've got, you know, other companies in South Africa that are coming out with managements. I know we've seen Telkom jump nearly 5.83% today.
Now, that upsets a lot of people. A lot of people go, see, the market is obviously a casino. It's obviously full of liars and cheats and scoundrels, because how can anybody push Telkom up to the best levels it's seen in 10 years? And they simply don't understand the difference between talking to the call center at Telkom and being frustrated and actually the operational performance of the business of Telkom, which has been superlative in the last decade.
It's been an interesting stock, Bruce. It's up 49 Rand to 87 Rand in the year, so it's had a tremendous run, and 5.83% today. The results come out on Monday, and we'll see what they have to say. But there's been an indication that they're going to spin off their property portfolio, and that's nearly, you know, it's almost the value of the property of the company is in property. So there's a huge property portfolio. And then also, don't forget, resources also been bouncing, and they've got a lot of copper under the ground.
But they do. People keep trying to take it out to do their own version of copper mining. Garth, we must leave it there. I thank you. Garth.
Thank you, Bruce.
Garth Curry is Sanlam Private Wealth Portfolio Manager and Wealth Manager. Thank you, Garth, for that. And yes, we've got Sipho Maseko, Chief Executive of Record Breaking Telkom, on The Money Show on Monday.
Bruce Whitfield on 702.
Bring you some of the best bits of The Money Show from the week that has been. Plus, I will give away 4,000 Rand in the Brutal Biz Quiz if you've got the answers to today's very tricky questions. On the next Money Show, our business book of the week is How to Get a SARS Refund for Small Businesses. Daniel Baines, the author, in studio with me. We'll also have Sipho Maseko, Chief Executive of Telkom. Share price has almost doubled over the last year or so at Telkom. And celebrity chef Ruben Riffle on Make Money Mondays. That's all coming up on the next Money Show.
702. SMS Bruce on 31702.
Well, another company with a chief executive who quits and there's no replacement announced. And I was ranting about this earlier on this week. And Pakamani Hadebe, they've announced he will step down. It's exactly a year to the day where his appointment was made permanent. It was on the 24th of May, 2018. And today, 24th of May, 2019, he's quit. Permanently, Public Enterprise Minister Pravin Gordhan says Khadebe was the right man to steer Eskom and stabilize the institution. And it hasn't been stable. It hasn't been steered. It's been deeply complicated. The Eskom board, in a statement this evening, is saying that we've learned to depend on his resilience to drive the kind of transformation South Africa needs. No secret, this role comes with unimaginable demands. It's unfortunately had an impact, negative impact on his health. In the best interests of Eskom and his family, he's decided to step down. Who goes into that job? Who wants the poisoned chalice that is Eskom? We need somebody who is tough, somebody who's resilient, somebody who's financially astute, somebody who's politically uncompromised, somebody who is honest, somebody with high levels of integrity and knows how to wire a plug. That would help. Wiring a plug. First try, if you can't wire a plug, should you get the job as the chief executive of Eskom? I don't think that's important. It's somebody honest. I mean, Pakamani's done a noble job, but you know, stage 4 load shedding earlier this year didn't help his credibility, unfortunately.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield. Live. Online. Smartphones. DSTV. And 92.7. And 106 FM.
I mean, Eskom has been a mess, but the Makanda municipality, if you've lived in Grahamstown all your life, or you've been to school or to university in Grahamstown, as many people who work at this radio station have, and they've literally run dry, and people have had to drill their own boreholes, and Gift of the Givers went in to try and sort it out. And there was some speculation that they were even considering closing down the university, Rhodes University, and the private schools in that town because there wasn't water. But the schools have become more self-sufficient, and the town is beginning to work out the stuff for itself with a better council, said Jaco Marie, who is not only the President's Special Investment Envoy and Deputy Chairman of Standard Bank, but he's also Chairman of Council at St. Andrew's College, which is one of the schools in Grahamstown. And I spoke to him about earlier this week about what the real problems are in probably the Eastern Cape's second most important city.
You know, you have a number of dams and you get water. There's water that comes from effectively the Orange and Fish River system. But all these links need to be properly in place, and some of them had broken down. So one's not reliant on just one dam. There definitely is more there. But you know, it's the old story, isn't it? If maintenance isn't properly done and proper planning isn't done, and you don't perhaps have the technical competence in the local authority municipality, you have problems. And my sense is that we have in the current mayor and municipal manager relatively competent people, and certainly we as the school are working with them to try to do what we can. And certainly, you know, as a school, we maintain the roads around our school. We do the street lights, stormwater drains, paving, all that sort of thing. And of course, we've scaled back consumption. It's been quite good for the scholars to learn about some of the stuff, how scarce water is.
Yeah, toughen up, kids. Chief executives of blue chip companies been leaving, and today Pakamani Hadebe adding his name to that list of companies announcing departures of chief executives without finding replacements and giving certainty and giving surety immediately afterwards. Some have been kicked out, some have jumped ship at the drop of a hat, and today we saw Peter Moyo also from Old Mutual announce that he was suspended, chief operating officer stepping in to fill his shoes while he and the board try and sort out their differences. I can't see it happening. But we had the headhunting specialist, Andrew Woodburn, managing director of ANROP. He sent me an SMS to complain. AMROP. There we go. Sorry, Mr. Woodburn, sir. AMROP, not AMPROP, as I called it repeatedly. But AMROP Woodburn man. What happens when companies leave? A CEO leaves a company without a replacement.
In most cases, not having a successor was never the plan. But as you just mentioned, it seems to be coming more and more regular. So your first question is certainly what happens in the short term. And in some businesses, that can result from everything from absolute chaos through to paralysis, through to, let's just say, a dilution of operational efficiency in the very short term. And that's because no one wants to take a decision. No one knows where things are going. And like any good sports team, it's not about when the run-of-the-mill play is happening, but it's when the critical pressure points of operation come to play that without a captain, you can be a little bit like a headless chicken. The real problem happens when it becomes a long-term problem. And read into that the little title we see in South Africa regularly, acting CEO or acting CFO. And of course, there the problems get even more profound and obviously add up on top of each other to what one could say is the perfect storm. Things like a lack of strategic and tactical continuity. Deals that were going to happen now fall by the wayside. Political maneuvering by those who are in-house wanting to position themselves to take over. The avoidance of accountability on key decisions. So all in all, not having a successor ready to step into place really results in a lack of trust, both organizationally, personally, within the workforce, and of course from shareholders, investors, and others, a lack of reliability.
There we go. Lack of reliability. Thank you, Andrew Woodburn from AMROP Woodburn Man. Our shapeshifter this week blew me away, blew lots of you away. The Bidvest Chief Executive Designate, Mpumi Madisa. She's Bidvest's first female Chief Executive Designate. Only the third person ever to take over that job, by the way. Brian Joffe started, Lindsay Ralphs took over from Brian, and now Mpumi will take over at some point in the next year, 18 months or so. And she's told us that's how the offer was made to her.
So, I mean, maybe if I just very quickly track back, when I came back to Prestige, I then moved from corporate affairs into a business development role, into a sales role. And I very quickly went from a business development role from a subsidiary to a business development role for the division, into a business development role for group. And so 6 years ago, when I got called to group to say, we think what you're doing at a subsidiary and a divisional level is phenomenal in terms of just your ability to onload and bring on significant, contracts and clients. We'd like to see what that looks like at group. And that was 6 years ago. And both Brian and Lindsay said to me, look, we think that the role of CEO could be in reach for you if over the next couple of years you learn as much as you need to learn, you get the experience that you need to get. We think that that corner office is within reach. So 6 years ago, it was kind of sort of put on the table.
Okay.
And you know, Bruce, I mean, I remember just about falling off my chair from that conversation because I really didn't anticipate it. And I had just come into a group role, and I would have expected that they'd wait for me to prove myself first. And so it was really unexpected. But I took that conversation and really I put it in a drawer.
Yeah, amazing. Really, really cool to speak to Mpumi Madisa this week. She is the incoming chief executive at Bidvest. In a moment, the Brutal Biz Quiz brought to you by Altron. 4,000 Rand in cash, courtesy of 702 Cape Talk and Altron. Altron, there when it matters. I would like to know from you this evening, please, on 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. Which company did the U.S. Department of Commerce place on a trade blacklist this week? They took a company and put it on a trade blacklist. What is the name of that company? And you have to be able to pronounce it properly. 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. That is time for the Brutal Biz Quiz. And it's going to be brutal because there is 4,000 Rand up for grabs.
The Money Show is brought to you by Nedbank. Looking at money from every angle leads to better money decisions. See money differently. Nedbank. The Money Show. The Brutal Biz Quiz.
Your chance to win 4,000 Rand in cash, courtesy of 702 Cape Talk and Altron. There when it matters. And can I call you Al? Al, can I call you Al?
Yeah. Of course you can, obviously.
As long as they don't sing it, it'll be fine.
Please don't.
I won't. Which company did the U.S. Department of Commerce blacklist this week?
I think you gave a clue away there. I think it's Huawei.
Huawei is close enough. I can't pronounce it any better than that. Donald Trump raised the possibility of easing restrictions on Huawei as part of a broader trade deal with Beijing. Who was quoted in Peter Maritzburg today saying, I'll have to sell hats and socks to pay my legal fees?
Zuma.
President Jacob Zuma, former President Jacob Zuma, speaking outside the KZN High Court in Pietermaritzburg, still denying doing anything wrong during his his tenure as president of the country. Who was born Melinda Anne French? She's known as something else today, someone else.
Bruce, I don't know.
Al. Farewell, Al. Who was born Melinda Anne French? 011-883-0702-021-446-0567, Greg?
It's Melinda Gates.
Melinda Gates, Greg. Absolutely right. Melinda Gates was born Melinda Anne French. And this week we played audio from her book, The Moment of Lift, How Empowering Women Changes the World. Who is the chair of the Old Mutual Board?
Trevor Manuel
is exactly right. He's the guy who is in charge of a board that has suspended Chief Executive Peter Moyo today. What company was founded by Brian Joffe in 1988?
Bidvest
is absolutely right. Greg, you get yourself 4,000 Rand as Wiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz this Friday night. Well done to you. That 4,000 Rand will find its way to you courtesy of Altron. And that 4,000 Rand courtesy of 702 Cape Talk and Altron. There when it matters. And do listen to the show again on Monday. Your chance to win 2,000 Rand in cash each day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then the Brutal Biz Quiz Bonanza on a Friday with 4,000 bucks courtesy of Altron.
Bruce Whitfield on 702.
That's it from an eventful Money Show. Pravin Gordhan fighting back against the public protector. Phakamani Hadebe, the chief executive of Eskom, stepping down. President being inaugurated tomorrow. Then we got the cabinet announcement on Sunday. And then on Monday, we do it all over again.